This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is wonderful to be with all of you in this time of worship, whether you are joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. We know and believe that the Spirit of Christ unites us as one as we worship, and I'm glad to be with you. I would invite all of us who are worshiping together to sign in, register your attendance, let us know that you're here. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row in the center aisle. If you would pass those down, sign in and pass them back. Notice the names of the friends sitting around you. If there's a name you don't recognize, then there's an opportunity to meet a new friend today. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link in the chat where you can click and sign up that way. If you are visiting with us and perhaps in search of a new place to call your spiritual home, we would love to get to know you better, and you can share an email address or a mailing address, and that will allow us to reach out to you and begin that conversation. We have several opportunities in the upcoming week to worship and study and be together. The first one is this afternoon at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. Both of our adult choirs will be joining together along with an orchestra to provide a Lenten concert for us. It will also be live streamed if you are able to join us either in the sanctuary or over live stream. Then on Tuesday at 6 p.m. in the Fourth Story Theater, we'll have a showing of the documentary called By Design, which is an exploration of how our public school system here in Nashville was shaped to be as it is today. Methodists have always been committed to education, and so I would encourage you to participate and learn a little bit more of the story here in Nashville and how we might help make education even more accessible to all. We have been gathering on Thursdays at noon in the sanctuary and over live stream for musical offerings, and we invite you to come this Thursday at noon for another Lenten concert. If you come on site, we have lunch afterwards and would love for you to join us. So just RSVP for lunch and we will count you in. Also want you to go ahead and mark your calendars, especially if you are a parent with little ones. Our Easter egg hunt is happening on Saturday, April 9th, 9:45 to 11:15. And it'll be fun to do this wonderful tradition again, so mark your calendars. And then after that, we begin the journey of Holy Week together, where we'll have Maundy Thursday worship as well as Good Friday. And then our Easter services are 6:30 a.m. We're going to do sunrise again, 8:45 and 11. And we look forward to celebrating together on that Sunday. We're still on the journey, however, toward the cross and toward the empty tomb. This Sunday, we're considering the third baptismal vow, the second part of it. Last week, we listened and talked about, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord? And this morning, we consider what it means to do that in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. So let us open our hearts as we worship Christ with one heart and one voice.
Thank you. You have called us by name and prayed for us. Lord, your prayer is that we would be one. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Holy God, three in one, you call us your very own. You pray that we would all be one, and yet we put up walls that separate us from each other and from you. We divide ourselves by class, by race, by politics, by ability, by gender identity. We exclude people because they look, act, or think differently than we do. And when we do not love our neighbors, we are not loving you who created us all. This is not your will for us. Forgive us, God, for causing harm to our neighbors and ourselves. Help us to turn toward each other. May we build bridges instead of walls so that we can come together. May we draw the circle wide so that all can experience your amazing love. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you may do that through the chat or in whatever way is possible for you with those you're worshiping with this morning. And for those of you gathered in the sanctuary, you may share those signs of peace in whatever way is most comfortable for you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the sacrament of baptism. This morning, Matthew Cope presents himself for baptism, and in addition, Matt and his wife, Sarah Cope, bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Matthew and Sarah, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Matthew, you answer them for yourself, and also together you answer them on behalf of your daughter. And so I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. Yes, you do. And will you, as her parents, nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these people with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be a true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Amen.
Can we come join us? Yeah. Matthew Gentry Cope, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, who created you, God the Son, who redeems you, and God the Holy Spirit, who empowers and comforts you. Amen. If we all want to lay hands on Matthew, let us pray. Matthew, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you want to come and be the father to your daughter as you present her for baptism. And what name have you given your child?
Jacqueline Perry Cope.
Jacqueline Perry Cope. It's warm.
I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer who redeemed you, and God the Holy Spirit who empowers you and comforts you. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're all going to pray for the Holy Spirit, and you too. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
You can touch the water if you want to.
Yeah,
you want to touch the water? It's warm.
Yeah.
And now we're going to invite all of you to stand right there so that everybody in the sanctuary and on live stream can see you a little more closely. And let's see, I need my notebook. Because this is a great moment not only for the sacrament of baptism, but Sarah and Matt are joining the church today as well. And so we have two more questions to ask the both of you as you come to join officially as members of this congregation. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, will you say, I will? As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. She will too. That's right. Now we're going to turn and face this way as the congregation makes our promises to you.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face this family? Now it is our joy to welcome our new siblings in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Matthew, Sarah, and Jacqueline Perry to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ, you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9 and 20 through 23. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, and they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The grown-ups are being seated. I'd love to have any children who'd like to come forward and join me here. And if you're worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screens. We'll wave to you. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you. Come on down. Was this something you drew? That's beautiful. Do I get to keep it? Oh, thank you so much. Wow, that's very special. I'm going to put it in my office so I can see it every day. I wanted to tell you all about my family. I have a brother who's older than I am, and then two sisters who are older than I am. So I am the youngest of four children, and we have a pretty big family. And then on my mother's side of the family, I have 26 first cousins. Can you believe that? When we used to get together for Christmas, we were like crawling all over each other. The house was so full. So I have that big family. And then I go to a family reunion every year where there are 600 people who get together for a week. But you know what? My family's even bigger than that. And so is yours. Because look out there. That's our church family. And there are lots of people in our church family who were here at 8:45 or who couldn't be here today. Our church family is really big. And one of the things we learned in our scripture Bible reading today is that everyone who follows Jesus is part of the same family. We have a Christian family that we're part of. And there's one thing about family, is family is supposed to love us no matter what. And it's important for you to know that you're part of a big family of all the people who follow Jesus, and you belong and you are loved. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for family. The little families, parents and siblings that we spend time with, and the really, really, really big family of all the people who follow Jesus. We thank you that we're part of that family, and help us to share the love of that family with the whole entire world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. You can, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. And if you're older than that or younger than that, you can return to your seats with parents. And thank you for my drawing. One of the most famous churches in the world, if not the most famous church in the world, is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Some of you have probably been there. I've had the privilege of traveling there as well. It's built on the site where many people think Jesus' body was buried after he was taken down from the cross. So if that is true, it's built on the site where Mary Magdalene and the other women went on that first Easter morning and found the tomb empty. So you can imagine that for centuries, for thousands of years, Christians have traveled to that site in pilgrimage to experience that place and to worship there. It is, in many ways, a place that unites us all. All who follow Christ are welcome in that place. It's a sign of Christian unity, except for that ladder. Maybe some of you have heard the story of this ladder. Well, if you are standing looking at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, up on a second or third floor, there's a window, and on the ledge of the window, there's a ladder leaning up against the window. And it's been there for 300 years at least, because nobody can agree on what to do with it. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in 1757, the Ottoman Sultan made a decree that there were 6 Christian denominations who would have responsibility for caring for and managing that facility. It's some of the most ancient denominations, the Armenian Church, the Coptic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and so forth. And that nothing in the church could be moved or changed or altered unless all 6 groups could agree. And they cannot agree on what to do with this ladder. So it sits there. Some poor brick worker left it there by accident one day, hundreds of years ago, and like, oops, and it's still there. Pope Paul VI called that ladder the sign of Christian disunity. Just evidence that we Christians cannot agree. We know the signs in our own times, and the signs all along the way throughout church history. Whenever I have an opportunity to teach church history, whether it's in the new member class or with the confirmation class or in other places, I use a handout that basically shows all the different times the church has split and how many different branches there are. When the East split from the West in the 11th century, and then the Protestants split from the Catholic Church, and then the Anglican Church split, and then from there came the Methodists and the Baptists and all of these others, and all we have to do is just drive up and down Franklin Road to see all the many varieties of churches that have developed over all of these years, all as a result of some sort of split or other. Sometimes the reason a church splits is over the cover of the carpet, or because one group likes the pastor and another group doesn't. We don't have that luxury in the Methodist Church, by the way. But sometimes churches split over matters of conscience, questions of justice and inclusion. In the 18th century, in the early days of the Methodist movement here in the United States, churches would gather and there would be black Christians and white Christians, formerly enslaved and former enslavers, worshiping together until one day when they decided, the white people in power decided we needed to segregate.
And there was a pastor, a black pastor named Richard Allen, who was kneeling in prayer at the altar of the church, and he was told to go sit up in the balcony. And so he and his friends walked out, and they started the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the AME Church, which exists today. It was a matter of belonging and love and conscience. So churches and bodies split for all different kinds of reasons, and we know that story all too well. And yet, we have this third vow of our baptism, where we promise to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord in union with the church, the universal church, the church everywhere. We promise to serve in union. We name out loud that in some way we are one, or we're meant to be. And then we hear these words of Jesus from the 17th chapter of John, where Jesus prays for his followers who are there with him, and all of his followers who will come for generations down the line, that they might all be one. And he says it not once, not twice, but three times in the text we heard. God, I pray that they may all be one, that they might all be one, that they might be completely one. So what do we do with the reality we know and the prayer of Jesus and the baptismal vow we make? Do we just see the gap between them and feel terrible? Do we just feel despair? Because we know that humankind is diverse and all sorts of varieties of opinions and experiences and ways of interpreting Scripture, and it's hard for my family of six to get along, much less the universal church. So do we just give it up as a pipe dream? Or is there perhaps some hope embedded in Jesus' prayer? Obviously, I think there is. As I pored over this prayer of Jesus this week, I discovered in it a spark of hope. It first comes when I think about what is the union that Jesus is praying for, that we might all be one. Is Jesus praying that we might all agree on the color of the carpet? Is Jesus agreeing that we might interpret all of his parables in the one same way? I don't think so. I think Jesus is praying that we might all be one in love. Did you hear, as Brandon read it, the sort of circular, almost poetic nature of Jesus' prayer, where Jesus is praying to the one whom he calls Father, and he prays that just as you are in me, O Father, and I am in you, and they are in us, may we all be one. Just as the love of God flows from within the Trinity, from the lover to the beloved through the love of the Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this movement of love, we are included in that love. Is it possible that we might be united in love, though we may not be united in opinion and practice? John Wesley thought so. It's one reason I'm a Methodist. The founder of our movement said, though we may not all think alike, may we not all love alike. He preached a sermon called The Catholic Spirit, Catholic with a little c, meaning universal, in which he said, we have all sorts of different opinions. You believe this about baptism and you practice baptism this way. I believe this and practice it this way. You believe this about communion and do it differently from me. You interpret this scripture differently than I do. You believe this on this particular social issue and I believe something different. We have different opinions. You keep your opinion and I keep mine. But if you love God and you seek to love your neighbor and build God's kingdom in this world, then give me your hand. And let us do that work together in love. Wesley seemed to believe that we could disagree and still love one another and still be claimed and still claim Christ. Another thing that gives me hope in this text is that it is actually a prayer. In the Gospel of John, John tells the story of Jesus very differently from the other three Gospels. It has 21 chapters, and by the time we get to chapter 13, Jesus is already with his disciples at the Last Supper. He's already in his final hours. And John doesn't really talk about the supper. He talks about what happens after the supper, and we're going to hear that story next week, how Jesus gets up and washes all the disciples' feet. And then he begins to teach them his farewell speech, his final instructions. Love one another as I have loved you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in my love as I abide in my Father and my Father abides in me. And then in chapter 17, which we heard this morning, Jesus stops giving instructions to his disciples and turns to God in prayer. So all of this part we've heard this morning is a prayer to God. Jesus isn't turning to his disciples and saying, you guys need to get along. You need to figure out how to all be one. You need to agree on everything. We don't have to grit our teeth and make this happen and make ourselves united. What if it's not up to us? What if it is actually the work of God through the Holy Spirit to make us one? And I'll take it a step further. What if it's already happened? What if our union is already accomplished? It is already true that we are one, whether we like it or not. The Apostle Paul thought so. In his letter to the Galatians, he said, all who are baptized in Christ are one. There is no longer Jew or Greek, enslaved or free, male and female. All are one in Christ Jesus. He expounds on it more in the second chapter of Ephesians, if you want to read that when you get home. We're already one through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what if our calling is to live into that? To recognize each and every person as a beloved child of God and treat them like family, or like family should treat one another, perhaps I should say. What if our union has already been accomplished? What would that mean in how we treat one another? Even in this moment in the United Methodist Church, when there are some among us who are leaving to form a new denomination, can we not love them and bless them? Can we not interact with one another with respect and love, even as we disagree? Can we be a sign to the world of what God's love looks like, even in the midst of great diversity and difference? We have this vow that we make to serve Christ with the church, in union with the church. Perhaps God can take our conflict, our divisions, our limits, our mistakes, and redeem them, and reveal to us and the world signs of that mystic sweet communion we sang about in our opening hymn. Which brings me back to that ladder. Apparently in 1997, there was one guy, a Protestant, who, in, you know, typical Protestant fashion, you know, I'm going to fix this. And so he crawled up, pulled that ladder back through the window and hid it behind an altar. He was just going to solve the problem himself. A few days later, that ladder was back out against the wall. And I watched the video of him pulling that ladder out. There's a video out there. And as he was doing it, I thought, oh, that's our ladder. That's our story. It's part of our shared history now. And maybe that ladder is actually a sign of all of these six denominations respecting each other and not one taking it upon themselves to move it when the other ones haven't agreed yet. Maybe God can take this great symbol of our division and turn it through the mystic sweet communion into a sign of our union with God and with each other. May God give us eyes to see the union of the church. May we do all that we can to live into it, because, my friends, I believe it is already accomplished. Thanks be to God.
Now to rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, an older creed that is spoken around the world, many churches, and in many languages. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, you can fill out one of those gray prayer cards that are in the pew rack in front of you, and you can put them in the offering boxes as you exit this morning. Our sympathy goes out to Starling Davis Clark and David Clark and their family, who are mourning the death of Starling's mother, Starling Presnell Davis, who passed away on March 18th. Among her other survivors is West End member Starling Crabtree, who's a granddaughter. Services were held in Columbia, Tennessee on Friday, March 25th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our stronghold, our rock, our shelter in the storm, we come to you this morning in awe of what you have done for us and for the grace you've poured out. Thank you for the beauty of springtime in this ever-cycling world you have created. The birds sing of your glory, eggs hatched, and outreached beaks remind me of your constant care for us. You are the God of the universe, and yet you are mindful of us, allowing us to approach you with these petitions. In the midst of the beauty of spring, there is great tragedy. We mourn those that we have lost from 2 years of the pandemic. We grieve the tragic effects of war, both in the Ukraine and around the world in places like Myanmar, Ethiopia, the Middle East. We pray for those seeking refuge from the fighting and pray that they find safety and comfort both here in our country and in others. And on top of the world's grief, we each carry with us our own sorrow. We ask that you would show special care to those who are sick, to make your presence known at the bedside of the dying, that you would comfort those who grieve. Be with those who are anxious or depressed. Provide companionship for those who are lonely. And God, as we drive and see election signs, we ask that you provide for us leaders who follow your will, who share your thirst for justice that rolls like water. May you guide those already in office toward the beauty of shalom, a vision of flourishing for all people. And now, God, we pray that prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or on the chat. And if you're worshiping in person, there are offering boxes located in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary and right out this door, where you can leave your offerings following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Jesus prayed for us that we might all be one, so that the world might know God's love. That is our calling and our mission now as we leave this time of worship, to live into that so that, to love so well and so completely that the world might know God's love completely. Amen.